little bit more intro. In fact, a Sunday or Wednesday service about 2 months ago, I mentioned how, for those that hadn't been here before, that we had a guest speaker, Dwayne Howe, from New Tribes Missions Missionary, that one time he doesn't like talking about the witchcraft, voodoo, demonism down in Brazil, but I made him because we're not familiar with demons, and I told him then, years ago, it's coming here. You know, demon possession's coming here, and we needed to understand that. And so then he preached on that and gave a wonderful topical study on a Wednesday night, which I then made sure it was on our website still, because it was so long ago that when we made the switch over on the website, it was gone. So it's there under topical, Dwayne Howe. And it's really kind of a must listen to. Just in, he ran into Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee had some amazing talents. Some of it was probably demonic, Dwayne was working with others to cast out a demon of a man in a village, a girl in a village, and she's just has unbelievable power. That over all these people that are doing, they're praying, and then they ask the demon to name itself Bruce Lee. Dwayne didn't even know who Bruce Lee was. But one of the guys with him, it's talking about Bruce Lee, a famous kung fu artist that was into demons. So here in the Brazilian jungle, this lady is possessed with a demon that's saying Bruce Lee. No way she would have known about Bruce Lee. And so this that demon Bruce Lee and was identifying himself. So you can hear all the details about that on a Wednesday night study. And so, Julie, one thing I've noticed about New Tribes Mission missionaries is their kids watch their parents ministering the gospel to people and under hard conditions. And you know what? They want to follow in their parents' footsteps, a lot of them, not all of them. And then Julie wanted to find another like-minded missionary guy, and I kind of forgot, Warren, exactly how you got into Mission Aviation Fellowship, but Mission Aviation Fellowship transports people, missionaries, to the jungle, deepest, darkest parts of the jungle. When I went to South Sudan the 9 times, it was MAF that took us into the airstrip there in South Sudan. And he went on from being a pilot to being a mechanic and writing the manuals on the mechanic, making sure the planes are safe. And now he's about to embark on a different ministry with Julie to go down to Brazil in the old stomping grounds of his father-in-law and his wife where she was born. And I'll let him tell you the rest of that story. So with that, let's welcome Warren.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yep, Dwayne's got a book. It's a good read. I've read it. I'd recommend it. It's a good book about his life experiences on the mission field. So about Julie and I, Pastor mentioned that she was looking for someone to go to the mission field with her. That's true. We actually met at Wheaton College. I had gone to Wheaton College as a music education major. She was there getting an education degree. We actually met through a campus ministry there. And it was shortly after we met that I felt God calling me into mission aviation rather than teaching. And so it worked out well because we met shortly thereafter, and I was ready to go to the mission field. That's what she was looking for. So it worked out. God brought us together. We've been with MAF for 24 years. And I think it was probably about 24 years ago was the last time I spoke here. I don't remember if we've been through here in between, but I know during our very first year with MAF, we came through and spoke at the church. So maybe I should give a little bit of a summary of the last 24 years in 5 minutes or less, right? Well, we joined MAF. We went overseas first to Brazil. And we had initially not been assigned to Brazil. They'd actually assigned us to go to the Congo in Africa. But because of civil war there, we couldn't go, and so they ended up sending us to Brazil, which was great for us. Julie already had the language there, and we were excited to go back. And so we had 9 great years in Brazil. We worked with a Mission Aviation Fellowship affiliate called Asas de Socorro. It's a national Brazilian MAF. They have their own board of directors, their own airplanes. And so we were on loan to them, flew with them. Great experience for me working with Brazilians as co-workers. I had very few Americans as co-workers. It was primarily Brazilians. So a great experience of working with the full family of God. I think you prayed that during your prayer. It's great to be part of the family of God. So we were in Brazil for 9 years. I flew airplanes. I fixed airplanes and worked a little bit in management as well. After 9 years, we felt God was calling us to make a change, and so we asked MAF. There were more and more Brazilians coming through the training, and they were being able to fill the roles there, the needs there in Brazil, and so we asked MAF if we could be reassigned. And so they sent us to Mozambique in Africa, and the connection there is Portuguese. Both Brazil and Mozambique are former Portuguese colonies, so they both have levels of Portuguese they're spoken there. So we went to Mozambique, spent 6 years in Mozambique doing the same kinds of work, flying, fixing airplanes, working some in administrations. I was a program manager there for a while, and we really enjoyed our time in Mozambique. Very different country than Brazil, very different needs in some ways, but in other ways much the same. People need Jesus, whether they're rich, poor, in Africa, in Brazil, or even, dare I say, Washington, right? So we enjoyed our time in Mozambique. After 6 years, we experienced a home invasion one night. There were some people came to rob us. I was injured during the course of that confrontation, and so was evacuated to South Africa, had surgery. The next week then was evacuated back to the U.S., where I had to do some physical therapy. So after that physical therapy, we felt like God was calling us maybe to be a little more settled. So we asked MAF if we could stay in the U.S. and work at the headquarters. And so that's where we've been for the last 9 years then, is in Nampa, Idaho, which is the headquarters of Mission Aviation Fellowship in the U.S. And there in Idaho, I did several things. Initially, I worked in safety and quality, so making sure that our operations were being done safely as well as effectively. And so I got to travel around the world doing audits, doing safety inspections, as well as working on manuals, writing our policies, procedures, standards for both maintenance and flight. Got to work on that for about 5 years. And the last 4 years then I've been working exclusively on the maintenance side. And so I became the leader of a team, about 20 to 23 mechanics who work in Idaho. We have a fleet of training airplanes. When pilots join the mission, we always bring them to Idaho first. They come with their licenses, but we bring them to Idaho to learn how to fly in places where MAF flies around the world. So mountains, bad weather, bad airstrips, that's what Idaho has. So it's a great training environment and for us, for MAF. And so we have a fleet of training airplanes that my team maintains, make sure they're in shape, ready for all the training that happens, the flight training. I also have a team of maintenance instructors because most of our pilots are also mechanics, and so they have to learn how to maintain our specific aircraft, the ones that we have in our fleet. So that's another big part of what my team does, is making sure all of the MAF mechanics are trained and prepared, ready to work on the field. The other big part of what we do is get new airplanes ready to go overseas. And so as airplanes get old, they need to be replaced. They wear out, they need to be replaced. And so that's sort of a continual thing that happens, a fleet renewal. And we go out, we find airplanes that are low time, low use here in the U.S. We purchase those, we take them to Nampa, where we do modifications and repairs, whatever's necessary to get them ready to go overseas. Our goal is to have an airplane on the field for about the next 20 years. So ideally, we can do enough maintenance, enough work on them that they'll need just routine maintenance for the next 20 years. And so we do a lot of work on them. We have a team of guys who do a lot of that heavy maintenance, as well as when we bring airplanes back from overseas. Just most recently, the two projects we have in the shop are both airplanes that are being semi-retired from the fleet. They're actually going to go into our training fleet. just because they're older, they need more maintenance now, so it's easier to keep them maintained here in the U.S. So we've been working on those two, adding those two aircraft to our training fleet. So that's a real fast overview of the last 24 years, at least the highlights. But let me share a little bit more with you about specifically this last year. This video I'm going to show you now is of kind of an overview of 2021 and what God did through and with MAF in 2021. So let's see if we can make this work.
At the start of 2021, we had hoped that the year would be different, that a sense of normalcy would return. As we know, that did not happen. It is likely that many of you faced difficult or even heartbreaking circumstances. That certainly was true for MAF and our staff. But thanks to your support and prayers, we sought to remain steadfast to the call that God has placed before us. The reality is, we can control very little in our world. Yet, God remains faithful, and we can trust Him. As one of our staff members said, we need to remind each other of the good stuff going on in the midst of dark, heavy evil. God is at work, and He continues to invite us to be here and join Him. As you listen to some of the highlights and opportunities from the past year, I hope it will be an encouragement to you to keep pressing on together as we bring His light and truth to a hurting world. Thank you for joining us in this great commission work.
Our airplanes are effective tools for reaching the world's most isolated people. We can deliver help and hope, but it must be done safely. As an organization, we've always emphasized safety. But as part of our focus on excellence, we wanted to take that to the next level. So last year, we brought in an external team to do a review of our flight programs with an eye toward increasing safety, which includes improving our airstrips. We've been adding touchdown markers to provide more margin for the larger turbine airplanes. And here in Idaho, we're testing out a glide slope indicator at one of our training airstrips to see if we want to bring those to the field. Last year, your support helped send two Cessna Caravans to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Both of these are serving at our program on the east side of that country, where there is a huge demand for our services due to the insecurity there. As our fleet grows and new staff are heading to the field, we can explore new opportunities to reach more isolated people. In fact, we're getting ready to open a new program in Guinea, West Africa, in collaboration with MAF International. There is some good momentum happening, which is very exciting, and your partnership is making it possible.
Year, we continue to focus on strengthening our national staff. These teammates are vital to the ministry, and we could not operate without them. We want to increase their skills related to their jobs, but also their quality of life. For key managers, we provided English tutors and leadership training. And for all staff, we offered money management classes. We also sent one of our Indonesian staff to the U.S. to study for his airframe and power plant license. This person not only excelled, he was recently named the most outstanding maintenance technician student in the U.S. So we're very proud of him and excited about his success. As far as some challenges we encountered the past year, in Kalimantan, the region became a COVID hotspot for a number of months. Our short staff team juggled responsibilities to meet the needs of the hard-hit villages. Through this, we saw stronger partnerships with churches and exciting new ministry opportunities appeared as the province began to start opening up again. In Papua, we were shocked when one of our airplanes was burned and destroyed by a rebel group shortly after landing in a remote village. Yet even in this, we saw God's hand in the protection and the rescue of our pilot. If you saw MAF's documentary movie, Ends of the Earth, you may recall how Papuan evangelists wanted to reach the Wano people in Pulu. MAF opened the Puluk airstrip last May, and we flew Liku and Anu there so they could teach God's word. That led to over 70 new believers. And in the nearby village of Bina, a work that MAF has supported for 8 years became very fruitful when missionaries began to teach God's word to the Dim people. Now there are a couple hundred new believers. Because of you and your support, two new churches were born last year. None of this work could have been done without you.
Last year, our staff responded to a 7.2 earthquake that devastated southwest Haiti. By working with key partners, we brought aid to people who were suffering. Your support enabled us to complete 216 flights carrying just over 1,000 passengers and over 25 tons of relief supplies and medical aid. You helped us spread Christ's love and hope in a country that is already reeling from the death of its president, increased gang activity, kidnappings, and desperation. It was a difficult year, and our team remained steadfast with hearts wanting to serve. But in November, due to safety concerns, we had to evacuate our families back to the U.S. while the pilots and mechanics rotated in and out. And Haiti wasn't the only program to operate in a crisis situation or surrounded by violence. In Mozambique, our team flew people to safety after deadly attacks by insurgents. One of our teams in Africa had to evacuate its base and find new lodging in a nearby city so they could continue to serve. And in another country, a program was forced to stop its operations entirely, and our expat staff were evacuated. By serving many ministries and individuals, we've seen greater impact on the lives of isolated people through Bible translation and Bible storytelling workshops, medical teams and medevac flights, Sunday school teaching trainings, teacher flights, and ministry to internally displaced people. We saw God move in amazing ways. And please know, you played a part in making that all happen.
We worked closely with our newest families to prepare them for the realities of life overseas. We had regular conversations about the theology of risk and suffering, community and mentoring, as well as self-care. Over the past year, the organization deepened the sense of community overall through First Day. This is a global, company-wide day of Sabbath that happens once a month. We study the same spiritual disciplines, spend time in the Word and prayer, and have fellowship. We collectively focus on what God is doing in us and around us. And last year, while the pandemic continued to close countries, install visas, and strand MAF families in the States, we were encouraged by the First Day practices. I believe that they have created greater unity and helped foster resilience through a deeper intimacy with God and an understanding of our own belovedness. In the fall, countries began to open up again, and several of our families made it to language school or their overseas program. We praise God for that, and we thank you for your prayers that sustained us through another challenging year.
I think you can see that despite the challenges we faced last year, God graciously carried out his purposes through us and through you. In this year, MAF staff will press on in faithfulness as we look forward to what God will accomplish. We'll focus on expanding our family as we build up our national staff and find new partners to join with us. We'll take steps to enrich the heart of our community. We'll improve our performance and professionalism as we focus on excellence. And we'll increase the long-term impact of why we exist as an organization. And no matter what we encounter this year, together, we will take the love of Jesus to the world's most isolated people.
So, quiz time. How many thousand pounds of cargo did MAF carry? No. 41,000 something. Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, so MAF has been functioning since 1945. just after World War II, some Christian airmen who came out of the war said, hey, we've learned these skills as pilots, mechanics. We can use this to take the gospel into the remotest parts of the earth. And so that's been the vision from the beginning. That's still our vision, to share the love of Jesus with isolated people, and specifically to bring help, hope, and healing. And one of the places we're doing that in today, it was mentioned in the video that last year we were starting the new program. Well, as of 3 weeks ago, it's actually begun. So in March and April, as part of my responsibilities as a director of maintenance, I visited the program to make sure we had everything in place for the maintenance of the aircraft, that we were ready to start functioning there. And so I went there, did an audit, talked with the mechanics, the pilots, the program manager, and just made sure everything was ready to go. That's in the country of Guinea, West Africa. I'd not been to that part of Guinea before, but it's a very needy part of the world. Our brothers in MAF International, based out of the UK, they've been wanting to start a flight program there for a long time. A lot of missionaries, a lot of partner organizations have been asking them, we need an airplane in Guinea. We need a mission airplane here. Is there any way you can come in? Well, the government said only if you have a flight certificate, operating certificate from another country. And so the UK, they tried to get one. It didn't work out. So they approached us in MAFUS and said, we'll provide the airplane and the pilots and the staff, but we'd like to operate under your certificate. We have a U.S. operating certificate based here in the U.S. And so as part of my responsibility, we worked for about a year figuring out how that was going to work, who was going to be in charge of what, how it was all going to work together. We worked closely with the FAA. By the way, I don't know what you feel about the government, but God bless the FAA. I will say that compared to most other regulators around the world, the FAA is very helpful, and they've actually facilitated us ministering in a lot of very difficult places, like Guinea. And so we're actually operating in Guinea today under our U.S. FAA operating certificate. So it's pretty cool to see that moving ahead, to see that happening. One specific work in Guinea is there's a mission hospital in the far southeast corner of the country, away from the capital city. So any international flights, anything has to go through the capital. And then in dry season, it's a 2-day overland trip to get to the hospital. So doctors, nurses, medical people, supplies, it's a long trip. And that's during the dry season. During the rainy season, 4 to 5 days. So it's a very arduous trip. But with the airplane, it's an hour and a half. And so again, that's, it mentioned in the video, 40,000 plus days of travel saved. And so that's a real illustration. You can imagine a doctor showing up ready to go to work, but first he has to drive for 5 days and then rest up for a few days to recover from the trip before he can begin serving the people. So it's a real blessing to that hospital as well as to others. We're working with Wycliffe, other church planting groups, translation groups in Guinea, and so it's great to see God using a partnership between MAFUS and MAF International, as well as these other mission groups, to serve the people of Guinea and to bring them the gospel. As a part of that trip, over the past year, working on that, making that happen, that worked so well that now MAF International has asked if we can also do the same thing in Liberia, which is a neighboring country to Guinea. And so we're beginning that process of adding their aircraft to the U.S. registration and figuring out what we need to do to make Liberia as well function under our U.S. operating certificate. So it's great to see what God is doing. So those are kind of the things I've been involved in, heavily involved in that kind of stuff. Over the past year, though, I felt like it was time for another change. And so I've been working with my team. I had a young man. Well, he's not that young. He's younger than I am, okay. But I had identified him as my replacement. I felt like he was the right guy that could take over for me. So I've been working with him for the last couple of years with the perspective that he would take my job one day. And so we've been praying about that. He wasn't sure he was quite ready. He's ready, but he wasn't sure he was ready. So we had not set a date yet. But last fall, as we were praying, thinking about it, one opportunity came our way that we were not prepared for at all. We hadn't even considered. And that was to go work at the mission school in Brazil, where Julie attended when she was started when you were seven, started at boarding school when she was seven, graduated from there. Our children had attended that mission boarding school when we lived in Brazil, and so we knew the people there, knew the school very well. And in fact, our oldest son and his wife had just moved to Brazil last year in order to teach at that school. He's now, I guess this is third generation missionary. And so he and his wife were working there at the school. I don't know if you'll be able to believe this or not, but he took our grandchildren with him, which was not fair at all, even though we did it to our parents. But anyway, exactly. Yes. Yes. So the opportunity came up to work with our kids and our grandkids on the mission field. We can't pass that up. Initially, we said, oh, there's no way. We can't move again to Brazil and figure all that out. And how's that going to work? And what's going to happen? And, you know, all of those details. But after we prayed about it for a few weeks, we really felt God was saying, no, this is something you should do. And so MAF has agreed to put us on loan to Missão Novas Tribos do Brasil, and we'll be going down there to work at the school for a year. Initially, when they contacted us, they asked us to be dorm parents, which is to take care of the boarding students, primarily high schoolers, who come to the school and live there and study there during the school year. They really needed someone to start in January. We couldn't get down there that fast, so they had someone else step in, and it seems like that couple is doing really well. The kids like them. They're doing well. So I think they're going to stay in the dorm, and we're going to take over the jobs they were doing, which was base maintenance as well as hospitality, getting rooms ready for people, visitors, that sort of thing, maybe some laundry. Julie may actually get to use her teaching degree. She did graduate from Wheaton with a teaching degree, but she's not really had much use for it in a formal classroom. She's taught a lot, but not in a classroom. So we'll see if God can use that. That's another possibility, is to help out with teaching. Like most places on the mission field, there is no lack of work to be done. If you're willing and you can pitch in and help, there's lots of stuff to do. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a big change for me. Rather than leading a global team of aviation mechanics, I'll be cutting grass and changing light bulbs and fixing faucets and maybe playing with my grandkids. Yeah, maybe that too. MAF is in, let me see, we have 9 countries where we operate airplanes. That's MAF US. I think MAF International, it's about 30 all told. Yeah. Yeah, so are there any other questions you'd like to ask? Yeah, John.
How closely do you, or is JAR still in existence?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, yep.
How closely do I work with
them? Yeah, so he's asking if JARS is still in existence. JARS stands for Jungle Aviation and Radio Service. It's an acronym, just like MAF. But they're the aviation branch, aviation arm of Wycliffe Bible Translators, or SIL. And so, yes, JARS is very much in existence. A lot of the men and women I trained with in flight school went to JARS, and so some of our good friends are with JARS still today, still working. Actually, we're in a very close partnership with them. Just recently, the middle airplane in the back there on the board, that airplane actually stays in Nampa as one of our training fleet. It's an airplane that JARS operates. They operate that same type, but they don't have one in their training fleet here in the U.S. And so at least once a year, they borrow it. And so we send it to them, and they do flight training, maintenance training for their guys, and then they send it back to us. And so it's a great partnership where we can both utilize this asset, both for the kingdom. Right, exactly. Yep. Another partnership we're doing with JARS right now is we share For aircraft maintenance, you have to have subscriptions to the technical publications. So when the manufacturer publishes new service information, you need to be able to get that and distribute it to all your mechanics all over the world. So we have a system for doing that. Just last, well, 2 years ago, we added JARS. And so all of the tech publications for both JARS and MAF are being distributed in one system so we can share the costs of that. It's about $30,000 a year if we were each doing it on our own. Because we share, it costs about half for each organization. So another example of combining resources to keep the gospel going. Yeah. Sure. Does MAF use helicopters? We used to. And then we learned that helicopters are really hard to maintain and fly unless you're doing it a lot. And so what MAF decided was to focus on fixed-wing airplanes, like you see in the photos back there, and let other missions use helicopters. So I know JARS has a couple of helicopters still. There's another big mission called Heli Mission. Heli, H-E-L-I, mission. I have to make sure I pronounce that correctly. Helicopter mission, yes. But so they are based out of Europe, but they operate in a lot of the same places where we do. I don't know if you remember on the video the picture of the burned airplane, burned MAF airplane. So it was actually one of their helicopters who went in and rescued our pilot. It was an amazing story of God's protection. He shut down and basically got a gun in his face. Yeah. Okay. So he landed at this village. There is some instability and insecurity in that region. There's a group, basically an armed opposition group, who would like to be independent of Indonesia, would like their province of Papua to be independent. And so they're in that area frequently. Our pilot, there was a couple of factors. One thing, the radio that was on the ground there was broken, and so the people in the village couldn't warn him that this opposition group was in the village that day. So he landed, not aware that anything was wrong, and as soon as he shut down, had a gun in his face. They made him get out of the airplane. They actually put him on the ground in front of the airplane, and all of the people, not all of the people, several of the pastors from the village came and surrounded him and stood around him, basically covered him with their bodies so that the opposition group couldn't harm him, couldn't do anything. So they, you know, put their lives on the line to protect him, protect our pilot. So after, I'm probably not going to get the timeline exactly right, but at one point the pastors said to the group, hey, you know, you guys are going to burn the airplane, so can we take the pilot over here? And they did. They'd allowed him to take the pilot. Initially they said, okay, you're free to go. Here's a message we want you to give to the U.S. government. Their purpose was basically to say, if we burn this U.S.-American airplane, then the American government will support our bid for independence. Not sure of the logic of that, but anyway, that was their thinking, apparently. So they did. They burned the aircraft there on the airstrip. Part of our security procedures is that the pilot has to report on the ground and safe. Well, obviously, he didn't get a chance to do that. And so the people at the MAF base knew, okay, something's not right. So one of our other airplanes was flying nearby. He flew overhead, saw the airplane burning, realized, okay, this is not good. While he was flying overhead, our pilot on the ground had managed to get the radio. We have a little handheld. We carry a handheld radio in the survival kit. And so he was able to talk to his colleague in the air and say, I'm okay, I'm safe, this is what's happening. And so that began the process. The next morning, or actually that night, the local people convinced the rebels, the opposition group, to let them walk him out. And so they began to walk. They started walking to another village all night. I don't know. Papua is... You're either walking like this or like this. There's no level ground. It's all uphill or downhill. So it was quite a hike, but he hiked out. They took good care of him, fed him, gave him water, made sure he was well cared for. As they were walking, they could hear the helicopter coming. And, of course, it's very dense jungle. You can't see through the jungle canopy unless you're in a clearing. And so the timing worked out that as the helicopter was coming, they walked out into a clearing, and so the helicopter flew over, saw him there. Exactly, yeah. And so the helicopter was able to pick him up to bring him back home, reunite him with his family. So, yeah, great evidence of God's protection of the pilot. We did lose the airplane, which is about, it's, airplanes are expensive. It's about a $3 million asset, $3 million airplane. But God provided again. Donors heard about that, and actually last week the replacement airplane arrived in Indonesia. And so it's going through the process to get imported, and we'll start flying here within the next few weeks. So, yeah, God provides. Any other questions? We are going to be on the Amazon. Our house will be less than, I don't know, the farthest house is probably 300 yards from the Amazon. So in the part of the Amazon where we are, it's pretty big. And so the anacondas aren't right there on that big. Ocean-going ships cruise through that part of the Amazon. You can take a cruise. Yeah. Yep. 1,000 miles in line, seven. I'd heard it was 9 miles wide, but maybe 9 miles in high water, seven in low water. I know. We've never tried to go across. I remember flying in that same area in the airplane. I would be out of gliding distance of shore flying over the river. So it's a big river. And yes, there are piranhas, and yes, you can swim with them. It's okay. They've got a lot better things to eat than you, so they don't bother you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brazil has great bananas. And lots of, you know, there's more than one kind of banana, too, right? There's lots of varieties that are good. Oh, good question. Two grandkids, both girls. Madeline is 4 and Lydia is almost 2. I think so. Yeah, they're having a lot of fun there. It's a great place to be a kid. It's kind of like being at summer camp all year long. So you've got the river to swim in and other kids to play with and a playground and, yeah. So, and you can see that in that Brazil is becoming a sending country of missionaries. They're starting to send more missionaries. MAF has, I think, 3 Brazilian missionaries working outside of Brazil, working in other parts of the world. What's that? Duane said that when they went in 1964, 1965, the 4% of the country was considered evangelical Christian. Now estimates are as high as 40% of the country is evangelical. Churches all over the place, sending agent, missionary sending agencies. So yeah, it depends on how you define Christian, you know. But yeah, there are a lot in Brazil. That's for sure. Yeah, and you can see that in the school that we're going to be serving at. When Julie was there as a student, were there any Brazilian students? It was all North American or European missionaries' children. What, probably enrollment of 70, something like that? Yeah. So today, there's an enrollment in the high school, there's an enrollment of about 25 to 30. And I don't know, maybe 2. I know when we were looking at the dorm, there was only 1 who was a North American. The rest are all Brazilian or actually Asian missionaries who are now working in Brazil. So you can see that the task is spreading out. It's not just us anymore, which is a good thing. God's working. Yeah. All right. I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you, Warren. Really informative, isn't it? Now, all the people that are wanting to go to Idaho and Florida and whatever else, now you got another location. I want to go to Brazil, learn Portuguese, you know, fish along the Amazon, retire there. So, But you know, the whole world's got problems. And in fact, Brazil trying to, you know, to the best I'm very limited in knowing what's going on, but they're demonizing Brazil because it doesn't want to play global New World Order stuff. And there's a lot of pressure being placed upon the Brazilian government. So, we know how it all ends biblically, but it's so neat that some missionaries devoted their life. It's spread. And now the Brazilians are saved, and they've gotten discipled through all the ministries that have gone and done that. And so now we have Brazilian pastors that are having children that are missionaries. And that's why God said, and he put on the hearts of people, go out into all the world. You know, some in Judea, Samaria, outermost parts of the world, some are led to do that. And as a result, the gospel's gone out. And it's done great things. And so I want to repeat that Dwayne wrote a book. I didn't even know you had a book. So when did you publish it? Okay. Every time you hit send, it's published. Okay. So Dwayne, what is the address to? They just get your email address and ask for the book.
Dwayne_Howe@ntm.org. Dwayne_Howe@ntm. .org.
NTM, New Tribes Mission.
E at the end of
Howe. Yeah, Howe is H-O-W-E. So Dwayne will send you his book. How many pages? Does it have lots of pictures? 200 pages. And that's your life's work, you and Nadine.
Yeah, one of the most incredible stories you'll ever read.
Right. So that's okay. I often say stick with the 66 books of the Bible, but I bet you that one's a good exception, right?
Yep.
So learn what God has done in Dwayne and Nadine Howe's life. And once again, we used to have him, and then Warren was gone. I forgot how we lost track, and then you guys sent out a color hard copy letter, and you go, oh, Warren, he's going to Brazil. And so we helped him get down there. So he has now the support for that, but I'm sure any other support would be really a blessing to. So do you have a support sheet or something that they can keep in contact, get email from you about what's going on when you're down there? Why don't you talk about all that?
Yeah, back there on the table we have a brochure, just kind of general information about MAF, and then we have our prayer card. So we do have 5 children. But only the youngest 2 made the prayer card this time because they're the only ones still living at home. So our prayer card is getting smaller. But yeah, you can pick this card up. There's a spot on here. You can fill out your name and address. Just email, if you'd rather have just email newsletters, you can fill that out and you can give it to us or you can send it in.
With that, why don't we pray, and then the worship team will close us in a worship song, and then Dwayne and Warren and Julie will stay around, right, for any other questions, because I've got one for you that's off the tape. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would just really watch over Warren and Julie as they make the final preps for going, and for Dwayne and Nadine watching some of the family again go on the mission field. And Lord, we're so thankful that really, with everything else going on in the world, we know that pretty soon you're calling your whole family home to be with you, and we'll be able to sit at your feet and just sit in amazement of all the wonders that you've done to allow your church to reach all the far reaches of the earth in tribes and people that have nothing. They had nothing before missionaries come except the doctrines of demons to lead them into witchcraft and idol worship and destruction of their lives, and then missionaries would come and bring them hope, Lord, and healing in their life, and then it's spread to the country, and we're just so thankful for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Find my heart.
Incline my heart toward you, O God, set my mind apart for thee. Praise and glory to thy name, serving you.